Hey, happy Saturday morning to you, wherever you happen to be. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. Hope you're having a great Saturday.
I am having a great
Saturday. Good morning, Beth.
This is my birthday week. It's like Mardi Gras.
Usually you don't like to talk about your birthday.
I know, but it's I always get the day off for my birthday because it's, you know, whatever weekend it is, President's Weekend and not President's Weekend. Columbus Day. And
yes.
I love getting Columbus Day
off. I thought you were talking about you got the day off work, and I was going to say, well, you are the executive director, so I'm assuming that if you wanted a day off for your birthday.
You'd be surprised.
It doesn't quite work that way.
It doesn't quite work that way. But, you know, there was a little season when I resisted birthdays, and now I think it's so fun. I'm so glad that God, you know, made me in the year that he did and the time that he did and with the people he did. And
so all good stuff.
Birthdays are all about that.
Hey, before I go any farther, we got a great show today, so okay. I want to clue people in right away.
Okay, tell us.
Samuel Johnson, who's been on our show before. It's been probably almost 2 years, year and a half, something like that, since she's been on. Samuel was born in a Christian family in Beirut, but her connection is the Muslim world and the Christian world and finding a connection between those two relationships, building relationships with Muslims, understanding the Quran, that kind of stuff. She's going to be on. She's got a new book called The Simple Truth, The Quran and the Bible Side by Side. And as a committed believer with insights into the Muslim world, I mean, a timely guest. So she's going to be on. Will Bakke is going to be on as well. He's like this young filmmaker guy. I don't know how he got to be so famous so quick. He's like a young guy.
Well, I think to myself, you know he's good because there's a lot of people like him who are not famous, who just have the dream and don't have the, like, product. So
yes.
We know he's good because he's got it all.
He's got a new film out after coming off two very successful films. He's got a new film out called Believe Me. And so he's going to be on in the second half of the show. So you just don't want to go anywhere.
I don't want to go anywhere.
Well, you're not going anywhere. But if you're listening,
yes.
You don't want to go anywhere either. So anyway, sorry to interrupt the birthday thing.
Never mind.
I mean,
it's not like it's a big number.
It is, and it's 41. So that's why last year at this time when we were talking about your birthday, you didn't want so much to talk about it.
I was still getting used to that transition, but now I'm here, I'm like, I'm the youngest of the 40s. That's really fun.
Yeah, you're the youngest of the 40s. That's a good way to look at it.
Thank you very
much. You've got a way to go until 50.
I'm not the oldest of the 30s. I'm the youngest of the 40s.
That's exactly
the
right.
The cup is always half full in the Beth Guckenberger world.
That is 100% true.
Okay, so we went to a wedding this week.
Yes, and I did. We
you with your wife and me with my husband.
That's right. We didn't go together as a couple or anything like that. I have a wife and you have a husband. But we were at the same wedding.
Yes, we did. Yes. It was a beautiful wedding. I have never been to a wedding where a bride was so happy to be getting married.
She was like almost embarrassingly giddy.
She was,
I mean, like during the ceremony giddy.
Like recognizing this is my day, my moment, and all the rest of you get to just watch me joy overflowing.
Oh, she was like giggling and, you know, it was...
She was full.
It was actually quite touching. It was kind of fun.
I like that.
Yeah.
Does being at a wedding make you like your wife more? Because I guarantee being at the wedding makes your wife like you more.
It does?
It does.
Did she tell you that?
I just know that about women in weddings.
Did she tell you that? I want to know these things.
It just reminds you of like, oh, I made this commitment once, and you think back to your wedding.
Well, the pastor who did the wedding, who was the groom's father actually, I thought he did an awesome job. And so a lot of weddings, they don't really, you know, make a connection like that. But it did make me kind of step back. And the way that he conducted the ceremony was like, yeah, all right.
Oh,
I love my wife.
What was your favorite detail about your wedding?
Oh, about my wedding?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's like 22 years ago.
My
favorite detail about the wedding. I don't have any idea. I got married was the best detail of my wedding.
Were you...
We had the fastest wedding ever.
You did?
Yeah, I think our wedding was like 25 minutes.
Was that on purpose?
Not necessarily. I just don't think in our planning we thought it would go that fast.
You know what? I think that today's bride and grooms add things that they've seen on Pinterest and that they've read about in blogs. And, you know, like we have access now to more information about other people's ceremonies and we collect things that we want from them and we add them to ours and those grow them into 1 hour.
When Gracie gets married,
yes,
she's not going to have access to any of those things.
Really, you're going to
cut
her off?
Come on. I'm already having to save pennies now with anticipating what it might be like. So, no, you're not going to, you know, fly everyone to Aruba or something because you saw it on TV or something like that.
I remember telling my dad... I had this vision of releasing doves when I walked out of the church. I wanted us to walk out of the church and I wanted these doves to go into the air.
Now, people have probably done that, but I'm imagining having that discussion with your dad.
Yeah, he was just like, his little head was cocked for a minute, determining if I was serious. And then, yeah, that didn't happen at our wedding. But
no, I don't think
that
so.
That was before. I don't know where I got that great big idea.
Probably. You know, I never got the joy of meeting your dad, but he sounded to me from the stories you told me as a guy who likes to fulfill dreams, but he also has this deeply practical side.
Yes. Definitely.
Did I get that right?
Yes. Definitely.
So the idea of, oh, honey, I want your wedding to be everything that you ever dreamed it to be, but I'm not doing dubs.
He's just like, no, honey. No. But I think I like, he, one thing that happened at our wedding is that he didn't dance. Like, he didn't ever grow up dancing or anything. So he took dancing lessons.
Oh.
And then, he had this thing worked out with Todd that I was out of the loop on, that we were supposed to dance like 10 bars, and then Todd was supposed to interrupt us because he didn't really want to be out there that long in front of people. We had 500 guests at our wedding, and we were
pretty big
into the dance. Oh, I don't know, like 10 seconds, and Todd interrupted us, and I shooed Todd away.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't want to... give it up. This is like my last daddy-daughter moment. And anyway, so...
How symbolic would that be for your new husband? Following your instructions.
Yes.
And following his father-in-law's
instructions.
After a few seconds, interrupt us, and you're like, no, get away.
I mean, 500 people were watching us, and
Priceless.
I said, no, not yet, not yet. And everybody was like, oh... And he just kind of slinks himself backwards away from the center of the dance floor. It was a detail.
Every time that I hear things about you and Todd, I mean, no offense to you, I just have much greater respect for him. And that story, I'd never heard that story before. But again, Todd's that kind of guy. He's probably like, okay.
Finally.
This is how the rest of my life is going to be.
Yes.
Too funny. Hey, you! A couple weeks ago, you said you were going to some top secret birthday party, and so I didn't know if I was allowed to ask now that it's over.
Yeah, about it.
Yes.
Yes, I probably still.
You sent me some pictures, and so.
Yes.
Holy moly!
I did, my radio show friend. Yeah, I probably still won't release the name of whose party it was.
No, I wasn't expecting that.
But it was a 007 theme.
James Bond, yes.
And one of the more shocking details is they had hired some former James Bond actors.
Yeah, like all of them.
To be mingling among the crowd, and so
not like Daniel Craig or Sean Connery. That might
have been our leading story.
Like from I think it's from Gold. Finger, the guy who, the really tall, Lurch, whatever. He was at the, you had a picture with him.
And I mean, there's a bunch of those pictures, yes. And I was like, it was unbelievable. It was fun dinner conversation with the people we were with, because we were trying to catch all the details the party planner had put together, and which movie was that from, and...
So you had like the Bond car, the famous
Aston
Martin. There were some Bond girls hanging out.
Yes.
All of these, like, cameo
Bondy things. It was a little amazing with every detail you could imagine.
So the idea, you know, again, I find myself rubbing shoulders with people that I should never be rubbing shoulders with, actually. And so I try to put it all in perspective, and like, you know, when I do my wife's birthday,
which actors will you be
inviting? When we go downtown for dinner, maybe I'll invite you and Todd, and that'll be like the most famous people.
Which like, actress would she want to have mingling around her birthday party if she was having one?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. She likes Daniel Craig a lot, actually.
You don't know any details from your wedding.
Yeah, Daniel Craig would probably be
like
A1.
I
couldn't just settle on one.
Okay.
I mean, Denzel Washington. She loves Denzel Washington. Matt Damon. So
that's some good
choices. I'll give them a call.
Just say it's a really special day
for
our family.
That's exactly right. And I got this idea from another birthday party. So I'm sure you'll want to come down and hang out at Chili's.
Just a picture to a little social media for us, and we'll let it go.
Hey, we're going to be right back after this. Sammy Johnson is going to be joining us. She's an author and speaker. She's written a book called The Simple Truth: The Quran and the Bible side by side, and I don't know anybody who probably is more knowledgeable about that than her. So you're going to want to join us. This is Real Life with Beth and Robin. We'll be back in just 60 seconds.
This past summer, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to India, where I met a little girl named Shailaja from an orphanage with Back to Back. She was a new child at the home and was having a hard time adjusting. As I began playing with her and painting her nails, I was reminded that this little girl was just like my sisters back at home in the United States. Instead of a face on a photo, she became a part of my family when I realized that I could continue to help her through Back-to-Back's child sponsorship program. Even though she lives over 8,000 miles away, through the Back-to-Back sponsorship program, I can ensure that her spiritual, physical, educational, emotional, and social needs are met. The best part about the program is when I come home from school and find a letter from Shailaja. I am so thankful for God working within both of our hearts in order to lead us closer to each other and closer to Him. Visit www.backtoback.org for more information.
Hey, welcome back. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. We hope you're having a great Saturday morning, wherever
we
you happen
sure
to be.
Do. We sure do.
We do. That's sincere. Genuine.
I mean, enjoy my birthday weekend. I hope that you too are
wherever you
have
are.
A piece of cake on me. I'm 41, just, you know, as if people ask.
Hey, I remember when Sammy Johnson was on our show the first time. Sammy Johnson is joining us this morning. When she was on the first time, I was just so impressed. She was, I mean, she just talked about things that in Christian circles we don't spend a lot of time.
She was open to our questions.
Oh, she was great.
Great listener response, yeah. Afterwards.
Sammy is part of Call of Love Ministries, founder, director. You know, she runs the show there. And she's got a bunch of things that she does. Dare to Ask is a daily one-minute radio spot. Dare to Explore, a 12-lesson Bible study. A trip through Islam with turn-by-turn directions. I love that, for reaching Muslims. Dare to Love is she's the host and executive producer of a 30-minute weekly TV program that presents truths about Islam and equips Christ followers with practical tools to reach their Muslim neighbors. And she's got a new publication out called The Simple Truth, The Quran and the Bible Side by Side. And as I said at the end of our last segment, I don't know anybody better to talk about this subject than Samia. And so we are so glad that she is back. So, Samia, welcome back. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back.
You know, after the last time you were on with us a year or so ago, there were a lot of listeners who were so grateful and appreciative that you were answering what Rob and I kept calling, are these dumb questions? They're just the things that stunt us and stump us from reaching out to our Muslim neighbors. Questions about what's appropriate and what's offensive and what are they thinking when they see this or say this. And you were so good about kind of pulling back that curtain and allowing us to see inside the lives of a Muslim family and household and how they see the church and how the church can do a better job of reaching out. So just briefly, will you recap for us a little bit about what your ministry does and how our listeners can learn about your experiences?
Amen. Thank you, Beth. Our core vision at Call of Love Ministries is to serve together as the body of Christ to draw Muslims to the person of Jesus Christ and to his saving grace. And our earnest mission is we serve through various media and outreach venues to deliver God's message of hope and life to the Muslims in North America and globally, and also to disclose the truth about Islam and awaken believers to God's heart for the Muslims by providing practical tools and teachings. And I praise God for the freedom that we have in this country so that we can continue to do that. We have been serving in America since 1999. Originally, I come from Lebanon in the Middle East. My husband comes from Egypt, and we are blessed to be part of missions and ministries in America.
I'd love to, there's so many questions that even linger from our last visit, but before getting into all that, tell us about this project, about the new publication, The Simple Truth.
Yes, I'm so excited about it. You know, I search a lot in publications and websites and books to see if there is anything that could help the young generation, our high school and college students, if they want to learn what's the difference between Islam and Christianity. And I couldn't find anything that they could read for a couple of hours and at the same time give them a whole picture, an entire picture, the truth in it. And as you know, most of our young people don't have the time to read a thick book about Islam and compare it. So the Lord gave me this idea to write a book that's 60 pages, about 60 topics that cover the most important teachings in the Bible and compare it with how it's taught in the Quran. And it took me over a year. I thought it was going to be an easy task because I've been teaching about Islam and giving seminars for a long time. But just to summarize, for instance, what the Bible teaches about creation in four bullet points with one verse, and then four bullet points about what the Quran teaches, and one verse from the Quran, it was not an easy task, but the Lord helped me do it, and every bullet point has references in the back. We just launched this like over 6 weeks ago, and we put it also on Amazon as an ebook. So we had hundreds of downloads on Amazon, and that was a blessing. Also, we made the book very, very affordable, like $5 or $4 in bulk, so that churches can get it in boxes and give it to their students, because I believe that we need to be ready, we need to be educated. Islam is being infiltrated in every college and in every school. And sadly to say, the version of Islam that's portrayed in our schools and colleges is not the true Islam. So in an objective way, I put the differences between the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of the Bible, and let the person decide whether they're Christians, whether they're Muslims, whether they're atheists, the differences, and where and who should they follow, the Bible or the Quran.
And I love that it was written with thinking about the next generation, thinking about, Rob and I talk a lot about that next generation and really wanting them to be engaged in the activities of the church. So how is Islam affecting the next generation, the youth of today? Are they befriending each other easier as students than we do as adults in our neighborhoods? Or how is that? How are those cultures mixing in today's youth?
It's not easy, Beth. It's this question. You could have two extreme answers. Like, you can have an answer where from a person's experience, they can say in the college, I have the Muslim friends and we have so many things in common and we're so close together. But on the other side, you can have a college student who says, look, there's a Muslim community in my college, and they're trying to lead more Muslim students to extremism. And this could be the case in many of our colleges. So we can't have one answer for this question, but the most important thing, I think, best to realize as Christian Christ followers in America is that we have at least half a million new international students coming to America every year. And at least 100,000 of them are Muslims. And most of these who are coming are not extreme Muslims, because most of ministries accept the reality and they say that only 10% of the Muslims in the world are Muslim extremists, are jihadists, are anti-Western, anti-Christian. So if we have 100,000 Muslim students who come to America every year, what are they seeing? How is Christianity being reflected? I'm sad to say that so many of them come and spend 4 years and go back to their countries, and they never get in touch with a true Christian who tells them this is Christianity. Christianity is not Hollywood. Christianity is not the immorality you see in this country. Christianity is so different, and they can offer them the Bible or share with them their own testimony and their own life. So I thought that this kind of book is good as a starting point for conversation. Okay, so you're a Muslim, and Muslims are not offended if we ask them about their religion, their practices. They would love to share about their faith. It's not like us. We look at our religion, our faith, as a private issue, and we tell people, oh, please don't ask me about this. I don't want to share. But with Muslims, and in almost all third world countries, they are so open about what they believe in. So when we start talking to a Muslim here and tell them, you know what, let's discuss this together. Let's see the differences between what the Quran teaches and what the Bible teaches. And this way the Lord can open a door for us to witness about the hope and the eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ.
You know, Sammy, I know a lot of listeners, a lot of my friends, even myself at times, there's a fear of the unknown, perhaps. What I don't know what I'm getting myself into by building a relationship with a Muslim family or a Muslim classmate. Or talk a little bit about, you know, why is it that we shouldn't be afraid? These are just human beings, just like us. So tell us a little bit how to get over that fear and enter into the kind of relationship where the simple truth, your new publication, can be helpful to us.
I think that's a great question, because this is the challenge that we can put ourselves into. And for the past week, the Lord has been reminding me of this question that we need to ask ourselves. What is it going to take so that we as Christians can shake off the fear or intimidation or hatred or bitterness towards Muslims, so that we can take a step forward and reach them? What is it going to take? Is it going to take another September 11? Is it going to take another Boston event? God forbid that this would happen. And I say, as Christians, we cannot carry a sword and go about killing all the 10 million Muslims who live in our neighborhoods. The Lord told us to love our enemies, even if they're going to kill us. So what is it going to take? And I think it's going to take a wake-up call from the church and from ministries like you who are hosting me on your show, to tell the church that we need to take the first step. Muslims who come to this country, they look at themselves and they regard themselves as guests in this country. And in their traditions, back in their countries, if they have a guest, they expect the people who are the hosts, or those who own the land in a way, to take the first step and initiate the welcome. Mm. So your Muslim neighbor is as much afraid of you as you are afraid of them. Mm. Because they don't know anything about you. They don't know if you hate them. They don't know if you look at them as Muslim extremists. So if we put ourselves in their place, we can see, oh, yes, maybe I can reach out to them. And we have so many examples of Christian ladies and Christian men and Christian students who have reached out to the Muslims in their school or in their neighborhood. And you find them like regular people. They are loving. They are hospitable. They are very generous. Yes, some of them are very very devout Muslims. They are not willing to talk about anything else except their religion, but that's okay. If we live Christ in front of them, and we always show them that before a meal we pray, that a religion or our faith is part of our everyday life, they will get curious, because they don't have the peace we have. They don't have the eternal have we have. Mm-hmm. They cannot pray for their Allah in a personal way the same we do. So I think this can help us shake off the fear. The other thing is,
Sammy, we're coming up on a hard break, and so I want to make sure that people know where to get the materials, because they're so great. Where can they find you, the new book and the other materials that you have?
The new book can be on our website, calloflove.org, calloflove.org, or they can call us 832-220-4040. The ebook is available on Amazon as well.
Sammy, thanks so much for being with us. I wish we had more time. We'll definitely have you back again.
Absolutely. Thanks for being with us and for your ministry.
Hey, this is Real Life with Beth and Rob, and we will be back right after this break.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care, at 877-374-LIVE.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Abram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
Hi, I'm Fred Dreyer for Alpha Flex with Omega 5. When it comes to joint pain and inflammation, I'm an expert. I played 13 years in the National Football League. I've been hit and run over by the best of them. So when I have a flare-up, I don't want a painkiller. I want a solution. I've been taking Alpha Flex with Omega 5 for a long time now, and I'd be lost without it. It's powerful and natural, so don't settle for over-the-counter or prescription painkillers. Get Alpha Flex with Omega 5. It's the solution to pain and inflammation. Go to alphaflex.com right now and enter promo code DRYER. Order now and get free shipping and handling. And you can buy your first bottle at 50% off. That's 50% off, half the price. That's alphaflex.com. And don't forget to enter promo code DRYER, D-R-Y-E-R, for your 50% discount.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach. But more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
Hey, welcome back. This is Real Life with Beth and Ron. Hope you're having a great Saturday morning, wherever you happen to be across the United States and beyond.
I hope that you are like seeing a leaf change colors today. I hope that you're starting a fire in the backyard.
You can't help yourself.
I hope you see a football game.
Again, people
this weekend
in San Diego right now are not worrying about leaf changes.
I mean, well, then I'm sorry for you. I would encourage you to plan a trip somewhere to the middle America and where you too can see apple orchards in bloom.
You know, I love stories, love storytellers. You know,
I know
we love
them.
And We have a
great one on.
Great one on, and I'm also great at butchering names, but Will Bakke, I believe, is how he pronounces his name. He is he's a well-known writer, director. He's got two award-winning documentaries under his belt already, Beware of Christians and One Nation Under God, actually of which I've seen. Mm-hmm. They're both incredibly good, and they've got a new film, his studio, Riot Studios. They have a new film out, not a documentary, but a feature-length film called Believe Me. And he's joining us. I mean, where do we get these people? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Will you start by telling our listeners a little bit about the premise of this particular film that you're talking about, and then we'll get into some of your story and how you got into filmmaking. But tell us a little bit about Believe Me. Where did the idea come from, and what's the synopsis?
Yeah, that sounds great. So Believe Me is a feature narrative film about four college seniors that start a fake Christian charity in order to pay for their college tuition. And so they throw a fundraiser and get a little in over their heads when they're approached about becoming the keynote speakers for a summer-long evangelical tour. So the movie is a dramedy. It's very funny. It's very tongue-in-cheek about these four guys trying to sort of learn the Christian culture in order to con it, basically.
And did the idea come from any, like, reality in your life or a story that you heard, or it all just came out of your imagination?
There's a lot of different inspirations that kind of came from it. So when we actually finished our second documentary, Beware of Christians, we had the amazing opportunity of just piling in a van and touring this movie around for a year and a half. And while we were on the road, we got to show the film and talk to students in college and high school about what it looks like to actually follow Jesus in a time like high school and college when you have every temptation thrown at you. And the more we traveled around, the more we just recognized all these just really funny cultural, stigmas of Christian culture. And so we just had a blast writing the script because there's just so many funny things that Christians do that we, I think, more than anything, we love to laugh at ourselves. So we thought we'd pour that into a movie.
The thing I love about your documentaries, and I totally assume is going to happen here as well, is, yes, we do love to laugh at ourselves, but there's a deeper truth underneath that laughter. It's almost an uncomfortable laughter, like, oh, my gosh, you know, that's so true, and it's somewhat funny, but it's convicting at the same time. So I assume Believe Me is going to have that same edge to it.
It definitely does. You definitely have to be ready to kind of get hit with, you know, what it looks like to be a Christian and in this culture. And I think what this movie does, like our other films do, is that we try to sort of separate the Christian culture from the actual gospel. So a lot of the jokes, a lot of humor in this movie is aimed towards ourselves. We like to say we're not pointing the finger at Christians. We're kind of holding up a mirror to what people see from the outside. And what's great about that is it kind of gives us a platform to say, hey, we get it. Like, we look super weird doing all these things sometimes, but there is a deeper truth. There is a deeper meaning behind it. And we love exploring the differences between the culture of Christianity and the actual gospel. Mm.
One of the questions I had for you is, explain to us where the idea came from to tell story through this medium, and how, you know, people have a lot of ideas. We interview all the time recording artists and actors and authors, and they're not unique. You know, all of our listening audience, they have ideas, they believe they have something to offer, but then you took the next step and took that idea and that dream and put it into reality. So for all of the future filmmakers out there who are thinking, I have this idea, this way I want to use this medium to tell this message, what was the X factor for you? What was the moment when you realized how to lean even harder into this dream you had?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I went to Baylor University, and I graduated there in 2010. And I remember during that time, it was right around the time that we started to do our first documentary, One Nation Under God. And that started with just three buddies of mine and I saying, hey, we've grown up in Texas our whole lives. We've been raised as Christians. We really don't have an understanding of what it means to be a Christian or what that looks like or really what other religions look like. And so that trip was sort of what spawned this whole idea of just asking questions and finding out what other people believe. And while we were on that trip, we were talking about movies. And for me, I'm a huge movie buff. love storytelling in general. But we were talking about how there's just not that many films that are targeted towards the high school and college age demographic. And really, there weren't any films at the time that I felt like I could take my college friends to that had a gospel-driven message and at the same time were just hilarious. A lot of times it's just really easy, especially when you're talking about the gospel, to feel cheesy or sound cheesy while you're doing it. And we even experienced that making this first narrative film. We're like, man, there's really no other way to describe God's love. Sound really cheesy. But that's kind of what we wanted to do. We wanted to make movies that we could take our friends in college to that are, you know, sarcastic and hilarious, and we could sit down and not just feel the cheese factor just kind of washing over us. And so we wanted to put out something that was very authentic and honest and, you know, didn't paint Christians in the light that we had everything together, that we had all the answers, but really that we were searching for answers and we knew how broken we were. And I think that's what resonated with our demographic of college and high school age students, is we were just saying, we don't have all the answers. We want to find them with you and ask questions with you. And I think people got on board with that. And that's really what was sort of the defining moment for our career, was just putting out our first documentary and trying to relate to, you know, people our age. Mm.
And you certainly have a captive audience. You're surrounded by college and high school folks. What kind of feedback have they given you so far? Have they been able to see parts of the film or perhaps a demo of it yet?
We've done one screening so far. We wrapped shooting for Believe Me about a month ago, and so we haven't had a whole lot of time. We put together a pretty short cut of the film, and we're able to show it to about 15 to 20 high school students, college students, and even some youth leaders. And the response was just—it was so great, so encouraging. Mm-hmm. It's the first time for us to really put together a story that we wrote ourselves. When you're making a documentary, it's just total monkey business with the whole thing. You're just kind of wheeling and dealing. But with a narrative film like this and storytelling in general, it's very interesting to see the way people relate to your story. And the response is great. It's a very, very funny movie, but at the same time, you're trying to kind of intertwine that with dramatic elements and storytelling. And I think we've got something really great. We're really excited to finish it up and show everybody.
So I guess I am just curious now, having talked to you for a little bit, how in the world did you get from being hired by MTV to making Christian parody movies? tell us how you got hooked up with, our listeners probably don't have any idea. You initially got, I think, probably what you would consider your biggest break when you were working with MTV.
Right. Well, when I was in college, I made a lot of just parody sketch comedy videos. There wasn't anything inherently Christian about it. It was just some friends of mine and I goofing off. And I worked pretty closely with MTVU, which is the sort of the campus version of MTV. And while I was working with them, they had a contest to write essentially a pilot for a TV show that they were looking for more content. And at the time, I had the amazing fortune of being nominated one of the top 10 filmmakers on campus, and they were looking forward to what I submitted. And it's actually I submitted this really hilarious idea about some college students that had superpowers but don't really use them for any good in the world. They just have bigger parties and have a lot of fun with them. And of course, that sounds like an MTV show. So they hired me on to write a pilot, and I wrote for them for a little while. But I think kind of near the end of that trajectory, I realized that it was about the time that I was getting involved in these documentaries and just realized there's a really powerful storytelling element here. I mean, media is just so, you know, it's just so wrapped into our culture that people really listen. And if I'm going to make something that matters, something that has a good story and is compelling enough to change even stubborn men's minds. So.
Yes. Hey, we're talking with Will Bakke about his new movie, Believe Me. He's the director, writer, also a member of Riot Studios Film. Will, can you join us after the break? We're about to come up on one.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, this is Real Life with Beth and Rob. And we'll be back in like 60 seconds, so you should be back with us.
Who's Weaving Your Story? The Story Weaver series by Beth Guckenberger highlights the plight of orphans throughout the world in personal, heart-grabbing stories of loss, struggle, and redemption. The kind of redemption only God, the great story weaver, can accomplish. Written for ages 8 and up, Tales of the Not Forgotten and Tales of the Defended Ones reveal God's ability to create a story far greater than we can imagine. And the corresponding 6-part Leader's Guides on CD help turn each book's content into a simple yet powerful 6-week curriculum for any church or small group. Use both together and you have a 12-week curriculum full of fun activities, compelling stories, biblical teaching, and practical applications. Let God weave your story and see what He can accomplish for orphans worldwide. The Story Weaver series is published by Standard Publishing and is available at www.standardpub.com or your favorite Christian bookstore.
Hey, welcome back. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger on this great Saturday morning. Hope you're having a great Saturday morning wherever you happen to be listening today. Hey, we're talking with Will Bakke. Hey, Will, am I saying your name right?
Yeah, it's Bakke. You nailed it.
Yeah, right.
You nailed it.
I am infamous for blowing just about everybody's name.
His last name is Hall, so he's never really had to worry about it.
That's
so,
exactly
so much
right.
Life.
So Will Bakke is joining us. He's talking about his new film, Believe Me. It comes out of his studio, Riot Studios Film. It's a Riot Studios film.
I was just going to say, Will, a couple weeks ago on the radio, we interviewed one of the pillars of the Christian faith. He's, like, written 50 books, and every word out of his mouth was full of wisdom and experience and discernment. And he was talking about the subject of ambition and where the role of ambition finds its place in the Christian church. And so we were talking after he got off the air about how there is a healthy place for ambition, that when the motive is good, then you're trying to make as large a footprint as possible in the lost world. And I get excited about filmmakers with the spirit and attitude that you have, because I think film automatically gives you a large footprint. And what you do with that message is, you know, up to you. But thinking about the subject of ambition, like, what's the home run for you? What do you want Believe Me to do to the viewer when they walk out of the theater and they have just watched your show? What is it that you're hoping that they're inspired to do or thoughtful about or what?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think our ambition for this movie is to present even more questions for people to ask themselves. Mm-hmm. I think that this movie wears a healthy skepticism. The film is all about the ideas of truth and why do you believe the things that you believe? Do you believe something just because someone stood up on a stage and told you that something was true? Or is it truth only because it resonates with what you want it to be, what you believe? There was a quote that really struck me when I was making my first documentary. But I had this conversation with this guy in Portland, and he was telling me that Flannery O'Connor, writer and activist, once said, "The truth does not change according to our ability to stomach it." And for as long as I've been walking in my faith, I feel like I've always wanted to know what truth is, regardless of how it makes me feel. And in a society where I think we tend to grab bits and pieces of different religions that work best for us, I just don't believe that God is that moldable. If God is who He says He is, then He is who He says He is, and that's not going to change based on what it makes me feel. So I think for us, our ambition is just to present that question and to really spark more conversation about, you know, what do I really believe, and am I more in love with the Christian culture and my lifestyle, or am I really rooted in the gospel, and is that what's changing my life and my attitude, or is it the culture?
Mm. Now you mentioned you graduated in 2010, so to a couple of old folks like us,
speak for yourself.
You know, where you know, obviously you are saying things that I would expect someone much older. Your youth is belied by your wisdom. Did you have mentors in your life? Did you have people who were pouring this idea into you that now you're getting to pour out in your craft?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the biggest influence of my life was having youth leaders and mentors around me as I grew up. My parents were separated when I got into high school, and I had two youth leaders especially that just poured into me and into my life and what it looks like to be a man of God, and just showed me a different way of living. And they were around for the entire mess of it all, of me trying to figure it out and ask questions. And since then, that's always been sort of the outlet that I tend to serve in. And so when I got to Baylor, I led a high school Bible study of guys for 3 years. And as soon as I moved to Austin, which is where we're based out of, Riot Studios is, I got involved with the church, and I'm leading another high school Bible study. Because I just think at that age, it's just so important to be able to have the platform to ask questions and have doubts and be as skeptical as you want, because God's big enough to handle those questions.
Yeah. Hey, I want to make sure you get one other opportunity. I do know some filmmaker friends, and finding quality actors, actresses to pull off a film like this, especially that believe in the message, is sometimes difficult for them to do. So how did you find the cast and how did they buy into the message? And I'm looking through the list of the names, and I mean, these people have been in some bigwig things, and yet you've been able to put them together.
Oh my gosh, we have the most amazing cast, and one of the things that we wanted to do from the very beginning was we didn't want to isolate anybody from this film based on their faith or their understanding of religion. We have people of all different cultures and beliefs on this movie, and our actors are just so good and so talented. We wanted to get the best talent that we could, because we think that's what starts, you know, the storytelling element. So we have Alex Russell from the movie Chronicle, who's about to come out in the remake of the Stephen King movie Carrie, plays our lead. And then he's followed by Max Adler of Glee and Cinqua Walls of the TV show Teen Wolf, and Miles Fisher, who's on Mad Men and Comedy Central. And, the list goes on. Christopher McDonald is a part of this movie, who's just absolutely hysterical. But one of the interesting things about this movie is a lot of these guys are not Christians, and they were very open and forward about that, and it was great to be able to sit down and have a beer with them and talk about the gospel and the script. And one of the moments that I remember very vividly was just, we were on set and we were getting ready for a big scene, and I was kind of like running around all the time trying to figure out lights and makeup and camera movements, and Alex Russell, our lead actor, has a couple verses of scripture because his character is standing on stage and trying to tell people about Jesus while he's stealing money from them. But I remember him calling me over, and he was asking me about a story in the Bible because it's written into the script. And even in the midst of running around, I was like, oh my gosh, he's never read the Bible. And for him, he was like, yeah, dude, I mean, the first scripture I've ever read is in your script. And so he obviously had a lot of questions, and we got to sit down and talk about it. And I think for all of us at Riot Studios, the biggest accomplishment, what made this entire process even worth it, and we haven't even released the movie yet, was just being able to have conversations with actors and crew about the heart behind this movie. And we would do it over and over again, even if no one sees this film, just because it was just such an amazing environment to have that conversation and to feel comfortable having it. Yeah. So we had a great time doing it, and we're so, so blessed to have the actors that we do be a part of this movie.
You know, one of the things that we talk about on Real Life with Beth and Rob all the time is that we want our listeners to have conversations of substance following whatever it is that we have shared with them. And I think that sounds like you've already accomplished that goal, that you've had some of those conversations with substance with each other and with those that participated in the film. So I'm with you. I think you probably have very possibly already accomplished the whole goal, but God, being multifaceted, will continue to use it. And we just want to honor that and help you spread the word about it. So thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I just wanted to plug, if anyone's interested in the movie, they can check it out at believemefilm.com. They can get all the updates they need and more information about when the movie's coming out. So as we finish up post-production, we'll start putting out even more announcements about how people can check out the movie. So believemefilm.com is where it's at.
Well, thanks so much for being on the show. You're welcome back anytime. Love talking to you and hearing about the process of filmmaking and your career. So just thanks so much, and best of luck with the film.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. That's an impressive guy.
I mean, hello, 25 years old, and he has clear vision, and he's executing that vision, and he's trusting God for stories bigger than mm-hmm. him, and they're falling together in front of him.
I just loved, I knew in reading some of those names on the cast list that these are not, you know.
They don't sign up for anything.
These are not B actors who, you know, are hoping to get in a movie. And honestly, in reading the cast list, I knew these are not believers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was glad to give him an opportunity to talk about what was his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of Christian filmmakers will say, hey, I'm only going to work with Christian mm-hmm. crew, Christian actors, Christian whatever. And I love the opportunity to hear his heart about, hey, I'm trying to send a message here, and I want the very best people that help me send that message.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of that, he got to talk to them
about
his faith and about the film. So,
I like that. That's very fun. Well, you know, back to Samia Johnson in our second segment. I was thinking about how she is also trying to engage this next generation, something we talk about on a regular basis. And on a statistic that she shared, that only 10% of the 100,000 Muslim that come into the country to study university are extremists. And that means 90% of them are not. And is that, why is it that in the media we're not talking about the 90%? Why does the 10% dominate the airwaves?
Right.
And how can we, I just think that their ministry is worth checking out, because they really do have good resources for us to figure out how to be in their lives.
It's interesting to me the tie-in between two of these. As I looked at the sheet for today
mm-hmm.
and preparing for the show, I thought these two guests are not going to have a whole lot in common. It's going to be a sort of a segment two, segment three.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have a common thread, and the common thread is this, is they're trying to create a safe place for Christians to engage non-Christians in a conversation.
That's right.
And that's what's so beautiful about it. Will and his film, Believe Me, as college students, and let's have a safe place to talk about what it means and even make fun of the Christian culture idea. And for Samia, with Muslims in the country and Christians trying to reach out, let's create the right atmosphere just to talk to one another about what our faith means.
Yes, let's not be in the bubble where everybody around us look like us and talk like us and think like us and dress like us. And I mean, let's be out and in the world so that we can bring the peace to the chaos.
Hey, I can't imagine that there's nobody in your life, if you're out there listening, who you'd want to hear this show. There's got to be somebody say, hey, you know what? I heard this great show today. Great filmmaker, great new book out about the connection between the Quran and the Bible and how to differentiate. There's got to be somebody.
Absolutely.
And so if you know somebody like that, hey, you can find Real Life with Beth and Rob on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
You can find Real Beth and reallifewithbethandrob.com and also on Facebook. And you can find a connection to all of our shows and download them as a podcast at any time. So go to any of those places, Real Life with Beth and Rob, you'll find them, and you can pass them on to your family and friends.
I definitely think that is the key for us as Christians. I'm clapping my hands and no one can even see it here in the studio, but I think we've got to be in the conversation.
That's right. Hey, next week, Lynn Austin about her work Pilgrimage, as well as Sally Bakke about What Didn't Kill Me Made Me Funny. So we should have some laughs next week. Hope you'll join us. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob, and until then, have a great week.